We come this morning in Matthew chapter 25 to a really truly remarkable claim that a man named Jesus of Nazareth makes. This is a truly astonishing claim when you understand it. It is a man who has been leading a group of followers, somewhat ragtag followers, for a period of years. Only a few years, in fact, and he's been going around, he's been doing miracles that people can't explain. He's been going around proclaiming these messages of this kingdom of heaven that people would have been a little bit confused about. He was even having harder sayings than that. In fact, John tells us that in his ministry, a lot of people stopped following him because they were so confused. He was talking to them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And they said, "I don't understand that." Of course, he was speaking spiritually. They were looking at this physically. But yet he was giving these hard sayings. And even beyond that, he was giving these parables. These parables that were these stories that were intended to give spiritual truth. And yet all these people who had these hardened ears, these hardened hearts, they weren't getting the message. And as he went around and his ministry picked up steam, so to speak, and people were following him, he picked up a lot of enemies along the way. This man, Jesus of Nazareth. The religious people of that day hated him because he was a threat to them. The religious goody-two-shoes who knew how to dress up, who thought that they were pleasing God by following the letter of the law very strictly when in fact they were violating the spirit of the law over and over again. They hated Jesus. They wondered at who this man was, and they saw him taking away their crowds. They saw him looking at them and calling them snakes and vipers and people who were making other disciples two times the children of hell that they were. These people were offended. They hated him. And now Jesus comes into Jerusalem. It is the last week of his life. It is only a couple days before he is to be nailed on a cross. And he stands up to his disciples and he has an amazing message. He says, "Someday I want you to know the Son of Man, that's me, that's Jesus, is going to come in his glory." They would have looked at Jesus and said, "What glory? You're a man who looks just like we do. You're a man who is tired just like we are. You're a man who is hungry just like we are. You're a man who has the same needs that we have. What do you mean coming in your glory?" And then he goes a little further. "I'm not just going to come in my glory. I'm going to come with the holy angels. The angels are going to come right down along with me." Can you imagine these disciples? Wow. But he doesn't stop there. He says, not only am I going to come back with the holy angels in my glory, I'm going to sit on the throne of my glory. Wow. You mean this man who's being rejected and hated by the religious elites and the political leaders, one day he's going to sit on a throne? Well, Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on in the story. And he says, "Then the king will say," oh Jesus, now you've gone a little bit too far now. No, we don't see a kingdom ahead for you. It's only 2 days before he was to be killed. "The king, Jesus." That's a pretty remarkable claim, isn't it? And it's going to be the subject of my message this morning, that throughout history, these claims of Jesus Christ have either been rejected or they've been ignored. Oh, some people love to come alongside Jesus of Nazareth and celebrate who he is. Celebrate these teachings that make us feel so good. Celebrate these things about Jesus. And they'll even say, "I'm a Christian." They'll even say, I'm someone who goes to church and reads my Bible. But friends, they don't understand the claim of Jesus Christ to be king. And not only a king who's coming in all his glory to judge the world. Friends, what do you think of Jesus this morning? What do you think of that poor, humble carpenter from Nazareth who made these outrageous by all earthly senses claims? Have you entered his kingdom this morning? The title this morning is simply King Jesus. King Jesus. And may God open our eyes to see scriptural truth this morning. Let's talk first of all about this claim. This claim that Jesus makes here. The word I used just a moment ago was outrageous. And it really, truly, in a sense, is outrageous by everything that human eyes could say about it. A man who's walking around from a small town in Israel, a nobody, a nothing by all the world standards. And he stands up and says, this guy is going to be king one day. This guy is not only going to be king, he is going to be in charge of the eternal destinies of every man who's ever lived. Wow, how would you think about that claim? How would you think about hearing that claim? You go out on Nicollet Mall, I'll tell you, and you'll see some really interesting people there. I work right near Nicollet Mall. Occasionally I have opportunity to walk out on Nicollet Mall, right on Nicollet Avenue right there, and you'll see some guy standing up. He might be preaching the gospel. There might be another guy standing up next to him, and he'll just be yelling at people. You don't even really know. He's just yelling and screaming at people. There'll be another people talking in very, very strange words, probably some religious heresy. There'll be the guy walking around who's asking you for money. There's really some characters that you'll see on Nicollet Mall, but I want to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you come upon Nicollet Mall minding your own business and a small crowd is gathered. A small crowd is gathered and here's a man standing there in shabby clothing, just normal, ordinary dress, nothing looks special about him, and he's talking. And he's saying, listen, I want to tell you something right now, okay? You're here in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. There's a governor of this state. There's a president of our country. But I want to tell you something important. You should call me king, okay? Because I have a kingdom. It doesn't look like it, but I actually am a king. All these people are kind of crowding around now saying, what? I got to listen to this. What's going on with this guy? And he says, no, not only, you might not appear right now. Not only am I a king, but I'm a king who's God. Okay? You say, oh, interesting. Interesting, okay? Keep on going. Yeah, not only am I a king who's God, but someday you are going to appear before me and I'm going to get to choose whether you get to go to heaven or hell. At that point, you're probably saying, okay, tell me more. Let me hear this out. I'm very entertained. Not only that, but when I come, I'm going to come in so much glory, you're not even going to be able to hardly look at me. Not only am I going to come, I'm going to come with fiery angels who are going to come and surround me, this great crowd of people. At that point, you're saying, okay, I'm done with this guy. He's crazy. Friends, those were exactly the claims that Jesus Christ made when he was here on earth. And if you would look at that person who is walking around and say, you're crazy, you're nuts, of course that's not you, you don't have a kingdom anywhere, you're not reigning anywhere, and you're not coming back and you're not going to judge me someday, you better think for a minute about those claims that Jesus of Nazareth made. Let's understand in this claim, first of all, the return. He claimed a return. He said, when the Son of Man comes again. Now, why did he promise a return? Because Jesus knew that he was going to die in only about 2 days. In 2 days, they were going to take nails and drive them into his hands, and take a stake, and drive it through his feet to hang him to that cross. They were going to take a spear and pierce it into his side. They were going to put a crown of thorns and put it upon him until the blood ran down. They were going to take a whip and they were going to lash his back until it was simply nothing more than flesh hanging around with blood soaking down on him. They were going to look at him and they were going to mock him. They were going to say, "Ha, you're the king, huh? How does this feel, king? How does it feel when we slap you upside the face and say, 'Ha, ha, tell us who slapped you. You're so special, huh?'" That's what they were going to do to him, and Jesus knew it. And he had been telling his disciples, "The Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be killed. He's going to be rejected." Now imagine him standing up and him saying, "You know what? That's going to happen, but just wait until I come back." Friends, the Bible is full of references to when Jesus Christ is going to come back from heaven just like he went up. If you go into Acts chapter 1, you see that Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples after he had been resurrected from the dead. And the Bible says in this wonderful picture, Jesus actually ascended to heaven in a cloud. And angels appeared to his disciples and they said, can't you just imagine if you were there, you were just staring up, where'd he go? Where'd Jesus just go? He was just standing here a minute ago. And the angels came to the disciples and they said, "Why are you sitting here staring up into heaven like that?" "Well, of course I'm up here staring into heaven. Did you just see what happened?" They said, "He's going to come back in the same manner that he went up." Do you know someday, friends, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and set foot on this earth just like he did when he was walking on this earth over 2,000 years ago? He is going to come back and he is going to stand with his own 2 feet down here, and he's going to return in a cloud with all the angels around him. He's going to return. And the question is, how are you living in recognition of his claim that he is going to return? That's what he says. "I'm coming back. Watch. Be ready. Be prepared. Don't be taken by surprise when the Son of Man returns in great glory." His claim was that he would return. That's pretty astonishing from a man. By all, everyone looks at him and say, "Can you imagine if I were to tell you, I'm going to die in a couple days, but just wait until I show up again. Just wait until you see me. I'm going to come down." Say, what kind of claim is this? That's Jesus' claim. He's going to come back. Secondly, it's not just a return. Let's understand the claim of a ruler. Jesus didn't just say, "I'm coming back. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be miraculous. I'm going to return to this earth." He said, "I'm going to return not as the person who was rejected, not as the person who had nails plunged into his wrists and into his feet, not as the one with the crown of thorns. I am going to come back as king." What does a king do? He rules. He's in charge. He's the one who's on top. He's the top dog. He says jump and you say how high. That's what the king does. And Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to be the king." The king is going to say to these people, this ruler is not only just going to be a king, it's going to be a king in great glory. What is glory? Glory in this sense is just going to be this radiance of God himself in Jesus Christ. Do you know what Revelation chapter 6 tells us? Revelation 6 says that when God, the glory of the Lamb is revealed, people are going to be so terrified that they're going to be asking the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. "Hide me." They're going to run to the mountains and they're saying, the face of the Lamb is so terrifying. The face of the divine Son of God is so frightening that I'm just going to beg the mountains to hide me. I cannot bear to look at it. That is going to be the glory of the king. Now, you can imagine whether it's in a fairy tale or whether it's in a fictional presentation like a movie or a book, we think of these kings and queens that come with their great long trains and their crowns and their jewels and their great glory by worldly. Oh, there comes the king. We bow down. Imagine what it's going to be, friends, when Jesus comes back in such great glory that at His name every single knee will hit the floor. They will bow. Everyone who's rejected Jesus Christ is going to hit the floor. Everyone who's looked at Him on this earth in their life and said, I hate you. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to comply with you. Their knee is going to bow one day at the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation chapter 19. That is the claim that Jesus made. I'm going to be king. Wow. First of all, then, the claim is to a return, secondly, to a ruler, and third, to a reign. A reign that a king makes, not the rain that comes down from the sky, a reign of a kingdom. You see, Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 25, He says in verse 34, then shall the king, that's Him, say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that when I come, when I return back again, I may bring you to that place with me forever and ever, for eternity. Jesus, in all over Matthew, talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven that we've talked about the last couple weeks. We can enter into that kingdom here on earth, but it's also an eternal kingdom. This kingdom was prophesied in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 7. If you look at verses 13 and 14, the Bible talks about the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days. That's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the Father Almighty, and a kingdom being given that has no end. That has no end to it. Jesus is going to have a kingdom, and He's going to reign. Now look at what this reign includes. Look at what it says. It says that the king is going to stand there and everyone's going to be there. And He's going to say, you get to go in my kingdom, you don't. You get to go in my kingdom, you don't. He gets to choose. Now there are a couple different interpretations of this, whether this kingdom happens, if this is the great white throne judgment, or this is the judgment of the nations at the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. I tend to believe side with the latter of those, that there's going to be a different judgment at the start of Christ's millennial kingdom than the one at the end, the great white throne judgment at the end of His millennial kingdom. But regardless, the point remains, Jesus Christ as king will have the keys to heaven and to hell, and His judgment is going to be final. His judgment is not going to have an appeal. He's going to say, you go to heaven and you go to hell. And that's going to be it. Your eternal destiny is going to be fixed by the answer that Jesus Christ gives to you. What do you think of this man? What do you think of this claim that he makes? What do you think of Jesus, the King? King Jesus! Your eternal destiny is going to depend on your answer to that question. Your eternal destiny in either heaven or hell is going to depend on whether you believe the claim of Jesus Christ or you don't. First of all, then, the claim. Secondly, let's understand here a contrast. A contrast to this claim. You see, people who are here and would have stood before the people in this story, the disciples might have looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, I don't understand. I don't understand how you're talking about a kingdom here. I don't see it. All I see is a man walking around who doesn't even have a place to live. A humble man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As Isaiah tells us, we turned our faces from Him. There was nothing in Him that we would desire fleshly. This is not someone that we would all say, oh, this is the King right here. This is the one who we are to follow. No. Jesus was a humble man. He was a man who partook of all of our sorrows, all of our temptations, yet without sin. He was the one who, at the very end of his life, got down on his knees before his disciples and took off their filthy sandals and washed their feet with his own hands. You say, what could be more degrading and embarrassing and humiliating with that? Is that how a king acts? Is that how a king acts? It gets down and washes people's feet, their smelly feet? No. But that's how Jesus acted. That's who Jesus was. Let's understand these contrasts in a few different ways. First of all, a contrast in his possessions. What does a king look like? What does a king possess? A king is the one who holds the purse strings. A king is the one who owns what he surveys in his kingdom. People come and they give him taxes. People come and they say, "Here, king, take my field." He is the one who says, "That's mine, thank you very much. I like that." Well, let's look at King Jesus when he was here on earth. What did he possess? The Bible says, as Jesus said to someone, he said, "The Son of Man doesn't even have somewhere to lay his head down and sleep at night." He was essentially a homeless person. Does that sound like what a king looks like? Does that sound like a king has? Does he have a home? Of course. What about Jesus? Was he walking around as a wealthy man? Some of you have nothing more higher desire in life than to get rich. You look around and say, "I just want to be rich. I just want to have money. I just want to have comfort." That wasn't what King Jesus was when he was here on earth. Jesus wasn't going around looking for possessions, for money. He had been trained likely as a humble carpenter, but he gave his life to being simply an itinerant preacher, walking around proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Is that what a king looks like in his possessions? No. His disciples would have said, "King Jesus? Really?" This contrast wasn't only in his possessions. Let's understand, secondly, in his popularity. His popularity, you can imagine the king who, our leader, the one we're going to follow. I'm going to go to death with this king. He's going to lead me into battle. Jesus Christ was rejected. Jesus Christ was put on a cross. Jesus Christ was hated. And Jesus Christ is still hated today. You say, does that sound like what a king, what we think of as a king? No, it doesn't. That was Jesus Christ on earth. And third, let's see here the contrast in his power. You say, well, certainly a king is the one who is able to snap his finger and everyone does what he says, right? The king is the one who is able to say, "Do as I say," and they do it. What about Jesus' power here on earth? Of course, he had all power. He had divine power that was available to him at a snap of a finger. And yet when he was here on earth, he voluntarily hid that power. He voluntarily gave himself over to our human weakness that he might identify with us, that he might be connected with us, even in our death. Do you know this is what the people who were crucifying mocked him for? They said, "If you're really the king, if you're really such a big deal like you say you are, why don't you just get off that cross, huh? Then we'll believe you. Hey, Jesus, if you're really the king of the Jews, if you're really the Messiah, why don't you show it and do this great miracle right now?" Can you imagine how my flesh might have reacted to that? "Okay, I'll show you. I'm the Son of God. I'll kill you right now. I'll send an angel right now. I'll just take you out and I'll keep on hanging here. It'll be wonderful. I'll get this sense of pride. You died. See, I can do it if I want to." No, Jesus didn't have any of that. Jesus was willing to lay down his power to say, "I'm going to suffer for you. I'm going to be a suffering king, a suffering servant." Friends, look at all these contrasts between Jesus saying, "I'm going to be king. I am king. There's a kingdom of heaven that I'm going to separate people into." And then what we see on earth, this humble, suffering servant who is rejected and despised and put off. Friends, do you know this same contrast is seen today in our world. Jesus Christ has these claims to be a Savior. He says, I've come to save you from your sin. You're sinners, you're rebels, you're the enemies of God because not only of what you've done, but because sin has infected your very nature. You are the child of wrath. And man says, no, I don't believe you. I'm a good person. I've done good deeds. God could not send me to hell. Friend, you've got a surprise coming for you. Because Jesus Christ came to save you from your sin. What about the other claims that Jesus made? Jesus claimed to be the king, as we've said, to rule and to reign. And people said, oh, he was a good teacher. He was a nice man. No, Jesus Christ claimed to be your Lord, claimed to be your king, who you have only to give ultimate surrender to. Lay down your weapons and say, okay, I'm yours. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm not the boss. I'm not in charge. And people have rejected the claims of Jesus Christ from the time Jesus first made them to this day. They say, I don't believe that. I don't believe who Jesus said he was. I don't believe that he's a king. I don't believe that there's a kingdom of heaven. I don't believe any of this. But friends, there's another kind of person. It's not just the kind of person who is going to look and reject it outright. It's the kind of person who's just going to neglect it, ignore it. It's the kind of person who says, oh, Jesus was a nice guy. He gave us some nice things to live by. Oh, he gave us some nice teachings. All that stuff about loving people, oh, that's great. Let's all follow that. Friends, you got to take what Jesus said at face value. You can't take what he said as being a teacher over here and ignore the stuff that he said here about being king, about ruling, about reigning, about being your Lord, about being your Savior. You can't say, oh, I like this whole church thing. I like going to church and singing the songs, and it'll help me be a better person, and ignore what he said about how one gets to heaven. And ignore what he says when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not one person gets to God but by me. That's what Jesus says. What's your response to that claim? You can't ignore it. You can't neglect it. But that's what man has been doing over and over. And it might be you that's doing that today. There's a claim. And then there's a contrast. Third, let's understand the crossroads. The crossroads. What is a crossroads? What is a crossroads? You come up to something on one road, and where does the road go? Two ways. You can't keep on going straight. You got to pick one or the other. Friend, that's what Jesus says. That is the crossroads of King Jesus. You come up to it, you're confronted with his claims. Are you going to accept it? Or are you going to reject it? Now you say, well, I've never really thought about it before. Well, I'll tell you what you're picking. You're rejecting it then. Neglect is the same as reject. Ignoring it is the same way, is the same outcome as denying it. Because how do you get into a kingdom? How does Jesus say you get into a kingdom? You got to recognize the king. You got to recognize his rule. You got to recognize his authority. And it's important. It's absolutely essential that we understand this crossroads. This crossroads starts, first of all, with an evaluation. An evaluation, as I've said, have you ever evaluated the claims of Jesus Christ? Have you ever looked at him and said, you said that you're going to be a king and that you're going to control who gets into heaven. You've said that you're going to return in all your glory. Do you believe him? Do you believe what Jesus said when he said that? Do you read this Bible and you say, yeah, that's true? Because as I've said, you can't have it both ways. If Jesus Christ stood up like that man on Nicollet Avenue, that hypothetical man on Nicollet Avenue, and said, I'm returning, and I'm going to be king, and I'm going to rule, and I'm going to reign, and it wasn't true, what does that make him? It makes him a liar. Or it makes him a lunatic. It makes him crazy, deluded, nuts. Why would you ever listen to the ravings of a madman? Why do people say, I like what Jesus has to say over here, but reject his claims to be king, reject his claims to be God? They're horribly inconsistent. Now, some people might say, well, that was just his disciples. They had visions of grandeur. He never said that. Well, it's kind of interesting then that all four gospel accounts, independent accounts, have Jesus making similar claims. To say, I'm coming again someday, you better be ready. My death is not going to be the end of me. To say, I am the king and there's a kingdom that you need to enter. I am the only way to get to heaven. You need to come through me to get to God. Enter in at the straight gate because that's only the only way to get to heaven. These are his claims that he made. And you know what? His disciples believed them. That's why they died for them. If his disciples had written down these stories about Jesus and knew they were lies, why would they take them to their grave in relying upon them? You got to either accept or reject his claims, friend. You either have to say you're a liar, or you were crazy, or you're Lord. You're Jesus Christ. You're the King, and I'm going to submit myself to you. Jesus Christ is that razor blade. You're going to go one way or the other. I love what he said here just a few chapters back in Matthew 21. Jesus says, hey, I'm the chief cornerstone. I am the big old stone at the head of the building that people have rejected. And he said, you know what? There are two ways to approach that stone, Jesus Christ. There are two ways to approach it. He said, you're either going to fall on that stone and be broken, submit, say, yes, you are Lord. Yes, you are King. Yes, you are. I believe your claims. Or Jesus said, that stone is going to fall in all its weight on you, and you are going to be crushed to pieces. Choose, friends. There's a crossroads. You got to evaluate his claims. Are they true or not? And when you believe they're true, you're either going to fall on that stone and be broken of yourself and say, I give up, I give in, I repent, I'm done with my rebellion, I'm done with my walking away from God, and I'm going to do what he said, or you're going to say, no, you're not. I don't believe you, and someday that stone is going to fall on you and crush you to eternal damnation. What's it going to be, friends? What's the evaluation? Do you believe the claims of Jesus or not? Secondly, let's understand the effect. The effect of this crossroads. What does Jesus put before us here? He says, depending on his rule, some people are going to have eternity in heaven and some people are going to have eternity in hell. Friends, your eternal destiny depends on the decision you make. Your eternity future is reliant on your response to the claims of Jesus Christ. What's it going to be? It's an eternal effect. And third, let's understand an essential. An essential. You say, okay, I believe the claims of Jesus Christ. I believe that he said that he was going to be king. I believe that it's true. I believe that he is King. I believe that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Friend, how do you enter the kingdom of heaven? How are you the one that you can know that he is not just the king, but that he is your king? Because if he's not your king, you won't be in heaven. If you've never entered the kingdom of heaven, you're never going to end up there for eternity. How do you get there? How do you enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus said in his very first beatitude as he stood up to it before his disciples, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want to know how you get in the kingdom of heaven? It's coming to Jesus Christ, the King, by faith. It's coming to Him and repenting of your sins to say, you are the King. I can't get into the kingdom of heaven on my own. My good deeds will never get me to heaven because I am the child of the devil right now. Because me and my sin has been living in rebellion to God. I have no hope of getting in that kingdom of heaven. I have no hope of Jesus being my King. It's repentance and it's belief. It's saying to Jesus Christ, you are my King. I need to enter your kingdom of heaven. I need to be saved. You need to be that door that allows me into the sheepfold. You need to be that way that brings me to God, that the Father. You are my only hope of eternal life. If you don't take me to heaven, no one is. Friends, how many people say, you ask them, how are you getting to heaven? They say, well, I go to church. I pray. I read the Bible. Friend, you're going to have a sad surprise when one day Jesus says to you, friend, I never knew you. You're not coming into my kingdom. Don't think you can get in on your own. It is only when you come to the point of saying to the King, I can't get into your kingdom unless you take me there. Unless you forgive my sins and make me clean, as we talked about last week, unless I have your robes of righteousness, unless it's your purity that is clothing me, I can't get into your kingdom. I can't get into that wonderful feast. Friends, have you ever done that this morning? Have you truly evaluated the claims of Christ? Have you truly made a decision about what you believe? If not, it's the same as rejecting them. If not, it's the same as saying, I don't believe that you are who you said you are. Now, maybe there's some people here who say, you know what, I've believed Jesus before. I've entered into His kingdom before. I've trusted in Him for salvation before. I know I'm born again. I know I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. I know that He's mine. I know that He is my King. Friend, how are you living? How are you living? Are you living as if the claims of Jesus Christ are true, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and you are giving everything in His service? Are you living as if He's coming back one day again to walk this earth and to reward you for your faithful service? Are you living as if the King of kings and Lord of lords is one day going to sit on His glorious throne as a king and govern? Oh, how often I look at my life and see what I'm living for. See the things that I'm pursuing, my own dreams and my own hopes and my own desires, and not looking up to the King and saying, King, you're in charge. What do I do now? King, what do I do today? One of my favorite quotes is from an old Christian of years ago. Just a wonderfully powerful question he asked. Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? Think about that. Are the things that you are living for day by day, were they worth Jesus Christ coming to earth to die for? Friends, if we understand that King Jesus is who He said He is, if we understand that His claims are true, that He is going to come to earth, that He's going to come in all His glory, that He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, that He's going to judge the entire world, how does that change your behavior in going out into the city and telling them there's a great judgment day coming, the King is coming back, you got to enter His kingdom. The King is coming in all His glory, and He's going to be on a throne. Make sure you accept Him. Make sure you enter that kingdom by faith. Make sure you recognize His reign. Oh, it changes everything. So friends, today, who is King Jesus to you? Do you believe? Do you believe His claims? Well, it's time to take that intellectual belief, yeah, I believe what He said, into a heart belief. To repent of your sins, to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation as your King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's pray. Father, thank You for what a remarkable claim. Thank you that one day Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet shall sound. Lord, I pray that everyone here would be prepared. Father, I pray for that person here today who has never entered your kingdom by faith. They've never recognized Jesus as their King, as their Savior, who came to save them from their sins. I pray that today there would be someone who would enter that kingdom by faith, trust in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for eternal life. Now, as we always do at the end of every service, we pause. If there is anyone here who has never evaluated that claim of Jesus Christ, and so they're essentially rejecting it, you can slip out from where you are. You can come and kneel at these steps. Someone will take the Bible, show you from the Bible these claims of Jesus Christ. You can accept them for your own today. You can come to Him by faith and be saved. Is there anyone who would come this morning? Christian, while we wait, are you living in the service of that King today? Is your life His? Are you recognizing His authority? Or in areas of your life, are you trying to usurp His control, His reign, His rule? Bring those to God and confess them this morning. Father, thank you that King Jesus is coming again, and that each one of us, through no merit of our own, can enter that eternal kingdom of heaven by faith. May no one here this morning leave without becoming a citizen of that kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.